This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
When I'm calling you.
What's new with you guys?
You know, wow.
Hi.
Great
picture of us in the Washington Post today.
Yeah, there's nothing I like better than when they go back to the one me without the beard.
Thank you very hard.
Thanks. Listen, so much.
We are not going to dwell on this thing with my announcement from yesterday. Funny to see it play out on TV, on the local TV here.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't catch any of the local TV.
Well, last night I was going to sleep, and there it was on Channel 9, and I was like, wow, you know.
Channel 9?
This is kind of funny. And then I got sent an email that said J.C. Hayward. Boy, I wish I had heard that one, was reading the story. But possibly the best that kind of sums up the tone of all of these reports on TV is from Fox 5.
Very good.
Where even though Tony Perkins is a big fan of our show.
Yes.
And I think a big fan of mine, there is just a tone of indifference among his coworkers.
That hasn't changed in 20 plus years.
No, I love it. I love
it.
Did
they say local radio show?
I don't know.
Was local radio show mentioned at all?
I'm pretty sure we're mentioned as 106.7.
Do we have any tape of any of this?
Yes, we have the Channel 5 tape.
Good.
We don't have the stuff from Channel 9 where.
Did 4 ignore it?
I don't know. Did 4 ignore it?
I haven't seen no mention on Channel 4.
You know, Rob lives
Jim
on
Vance,
Channel 4.
Jim Vance didn't lead with that story?
No, he sure did.
Five-part series.
And, hey, how about this? Bob Knight quit on the same day.
Hey. Coincidence?
Huh? Does that feel good?
I don't think so.
Does that make you want to come to work in a red sweater?
The General. All right, anyway, this is about all the indulgence we do on this topic today. Uh-huh. It's 1 minute and 24 seconds just of... of muckety muck on channel
of indifference
on Channel 5.
One local radio legend is calling it quits. In the meantime, Don Geronimo is stepping down from the Don.
Stop it right there. I'm sorry. Stop. Right. You know, really, you have to stop it there because there it is.
Let it go.
There, really, there's the beginning of the indifference.
Uh-huh. No, I love it, though.
John, play it again, John.
One local radio legend is calling it quits. In the meantime, Don Geronimo is stepping down from the Don and Mike Show. Now, he spent 16 years hosting the show, which broadcast on 106.7 WJFK. Geronimo says he is trying to quit 3 times since his wife died back in 2005. His last show will be May 30th. His co-host, Mike O'Mara, will stay on the air on the Mike O'Mara Show.
No secret that I'm a fan of the show, been on the show numerous times, and we made a joke about it just a couple of weeks ago. But I heard the announcement yesterday and was actually sad. I mean, you know, good for Don to acknowledge that he wants to do some other things, needs to give it a rest. He's been doing radio forever, wildly successful over the years, and he's going to be missed. Some people have problems with the show because it's one of those wacky radio shows, but, you know, we're sorry to see him go. He'll be there for another 3 months.
At this point, Tony, God bless him.
Tony, only friend over there.
Tony Perkins. He's talking He's talking to an audience of none.
mean, they're just looking at him with blank stares.
On the set, they're looking at him.
They're just giving him the glare.
All the other people are like,
oh, my God.
Waste of time.
Why are you saying these words you were saying, Mr. Tony?
Total waste of time.
So until May 30th, 4 months, I guess. And like you said, Mike continues on after that. But we wish Don the best of luck. It's been very entertaining radio.
And you know, another thing is doing radio is a lot harder than people think it is.
And this is the thing.
Now, was that a question?
That's Bob Sellers.
And one of the things I wanted to say, Tony, was doing radio is a lot harder than people think it is? Huh?
About Don, because, you know, we're close friends and everything, but to be in the business for that long and that successful for that long, making the big bucks, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's rare,
it
actually.
Hard.
Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well,
hold on.
That's the best.
You got to hear all. It's got like two seconds.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay.
Just the grand indifference. I love it. I seriously love it. It could eat it with a spoon.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, Don Geronimo stepping down.
Okay, there you go. Jesus. What's wrong with people? What's wrong with anchor people?
Love it.
Stay classy, San Diego.
What?
They went
right to a Mardi Gras story.
Well, now, what's the guy's name that said that? What's the guy that's anchored?
Bob Sellers.
Bob Sellers?
Doing radio is hard, right?
Right. Doing radio is harder than people think. Huh?
Is it?
It's harder than breathing, isn't it? Huh?
And like you said, Mike continues on after that, but we wish Don the best of luck. It's been very entertaining radio.
You know, another thing is doing radio is a lot harder than people think it is.
And this is the thing.
Hey!
About Donnie,
why the lilt?
Hey, hold on.
Is he Irish? The question.
Hold on, you're right. That is
doing radio is harder than people think it is?
I'm Ron Burgundy. Okay.
Go emit yourself. San Diego.
Enough of that.
The Don and Mike Show.
There we go.
That's highly amusing.
Everything back to normal.
Oh, hi there.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey.
You boneheaded idiots.
Gonna be.
Hey, knock it off.
That is so true, Dick.
Don't you know? How about you, Paula? How's your old tomato?
I'm not happy.
You smell like bad produce down there.
Peter North.
Yep. Well, what have we here?
Hello, Charlie.
We're trying to answer the question about Paula Goldstein.
I'm not happy.
Okay. Down there. What do you think, Mike?
I think it's definitely produce. It's that Filipino.
That answer is true.
True. It's that Filipino produce. You know the kind that they talk about? Where they open the piece of fruit and it's got the stink?
Smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Sort of.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Barack Obama!
Oh, God.
Wow.
Shut up!
Yeah.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Yeah, we sure
are. We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary. Please stand by.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
I would love to make wild, passionate love to you.
What do you like?
I like rape.
Oh, that's not nice.
Let's pick up the phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags.
Stop
these
that.
These kids are fags. I can't believe it. No, no, God damn it, they're fags.
Stop calling us fags.
What is he, a faggot?
Stop it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Ev.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome.
Welcome. All right, Meryl, stop it. Stop it. Jesus.
It's not funny, Meryl.
He's mentally retarded.
All right, I understand.
I like rape.
Hey, not a Mike show. How the frig are you?
Radio is hard.
Tuesday. Phone number same as yesterday. 877-365-3636. So, how are you all?
Wonderful. And you?
Jim Dandy.
Good. Sounds like it.
Feel good. Let's take some calls. I'll tell you about what's happening at my home. Right. Hello, Donna Mike show. I like
Hi.
It there at my home. Hello, Donna Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi there.
Hey, Don, I just want to let you know, I've been listening to you since I was about 15. I'm 38 now.
Hey, pal, let's save it for May 30. Okay, dude, I'll see you on the telephone.
Did you see the last 3 seconds after Fox left the story on you?
No, I didn't even see it. I just heard it.
They mentioned Mardi Gras. It was at 8:34 in the morning, and they go, so-and-so is in Mardi Gras reporting, and it's 5:34 there. They didn't know about the time change, or there is no time change between D.C. and...
All right, listen, I will see you on the telethon on May 30th.
There is a time change between D.C. and New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
1 hour.
Is it only one, Buzz?
Just one. 1 hour.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Make us laugh. Make us laugh. 1 hour.
1 hour.
Imagine if you had to do that. 59 minutes.
Print it.
Hello, Don and Mike. Oops, or never mind. Okay, so here's what's happening. To look at what's happening with the members of my family now in my house is actually quite funny. Because
really?
I've not mentioned over the weekend that Janet, bless her heart, has a pinched nerve or something in her neck. After we took me to the El Cheapo 24-hour place on Saturday for my Z-Pack for that flu thing, for whatever reason, on Sunday she woke up and literally, she was like Tim McWilliams, Mike. She couldn't move her head left or right.
I've had similar things, and it is, you know, it can be a pinched nerve or even a slipped disc in your neck. It's excruciatingly painful.
Now, she has, she lives with me. She can put up with at least a lot of verbal pain.
Emotional abuse.
Yes, and she's strong physically as well, strong as a bull. Well, she woke up.
Has she ever challenged you physically, though?
Mike, they always do.
But you usually win that battle, don't you? I mean, you usually. I mean,
here's my trainer.
Look at immediately.
Oh, look who's here.
Look at immediately who saddles up to the microphone.
My trainer has stepped up.
Well, here he comes. The man that's briefed all of us. Corporal punishment.
Well, you like statistics, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, when they were over at my house Christmas Eve, they Indian wrestled, and Don took her 4-for-9. So, I mean.
Good. You like that.
They're pretty evenly matched.
You like man-on-woman violence, no?
And I know how you hate it. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Me, the great abuser. We just joke about it with you.
Anyway, I take her to the emergency room, not the cheapo, the 24-hour place, the real hospital.
While you were still sick, right?
I was feeling much better by Sunday morning, so we roll in there, and you go, you know, right away, you think, I don't know what it costs. Of course, it probably costs more. You're wasting time at a hospital rather than one of the 24-hour emergency care places.
Right.
But just going into a hospital with her calmed her down because her neck was driving her so nuts, and we roll back there, and the doctor's looking at her and touching and just touching. She's like, rah, rah, and she's spazzing out. And they gave her 4 shots in her petite buttocks. 1, 2, 3, 4 shots. 1 shot of an anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
1 shot of a heavy, heavy pain med.
In her butt?
Yep. Another shot to deal with the nausea from the pain in her butt.
Right.
And another shot... I don't know.
Wait a minute. Wait, the nausea for the pain in her butt or nausea for the medicine they were giving her for the pain?
The nausea that she was going to get from the pain medication
gotcha.
That they were giving her as well. All of this is kind of, like all of my stories, has nothing to do with what I'm really getting to. We left the hospital and they gave her one of those things to wear.
Now the fun starts. Now for me, that's when the fun really begins.
Now, here's where it gets even better. Because we took her to get her MRI yesterday, and now she's got to wait a couple of days to get the results on the MRI before she can go see the orthopedic guy. Mm-hmm. So she's got to walk around with this neck brace on, and it's quite cumbersome, and she's finding it kind of hard to walk around.
Sure. I find them flattering.
Well, my dog, our dog, Colonel Klink, the German Shepherd.
Right.
We live out in a wooded area, and the great thing is that we can open the back door, and the dogs just go and roam, and they have a really great time. And every once in a while, they come back and we pick a tick off him or something. Well, he got his eye scratched.
Gee.
Colonel Klink did, not the eyeball part, but right above it. But right above, and it was just, it became big and red and pussy. Gee. And we had taken him to the vet, and the vet said, "Here's the goo that you put inside
the salve,
his eye. Yeah, and
the ointment.
Of course,
the applicator.
What he would do was with his big German Shepherd paw, he would wipe the stuff like this off the eye.
Right. And into his eye?
The whole time irritating and scratching to the point where his left eye was big and red.
Yee.
Took him to the vet today.
Wow.
And he now has...
The cone?
Except he's a German Shepherd, so the cone is gigantic.
So she has the neck brace and he has the cone?
Now you need something.
Now I got to tell you something. I consider myself to be a full service boyfriend. Uh-huh. I do stuff
you
like,
need at least to wear a necklace or something.
I do stuff like I do the laundry occasionally. I will take down the recyclers and the garbage.
Uh-huh.
She took Klink to go to the vet today.
Wow.
I had no idea that Klink was going to come back with the big giant cone.
Right.
So I'm sitting at the kitchen table.
They're twins.
I see her car pull up, and I see her give me a little wave, and I wave back. And she goes to the back, and I see the hatchback on her car. It's going up and down, and there is some scuffle going on. And I go outside, and God bless him. Colonel Klink, this thing is so friggin' gigantic, it will not get out of the back of my girlfriend's
he
car.
He has to back out of the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
And yeah, otherwise he's going to get stuck.
And he doesn't want to. And he's so close to being home.
He wants to jump out.
Forward.
And I was standing there for a second, and she's like, will you help me? And
you have to secure things in your house, you know, with that cone that he's got on. Because he will take things out.
Yeah. I want to tell you, it was like watching a drunken sailor. We've taken a lot. We've taken a lot of stuff and taken off the low shelves.
Usually, I think of those cones as when they do the surgery down in the ball area.
And it is a gigantic one. It's a gigantic, plastic clear one. Now,
for his oversized head.
Yeah, it's flexible enough that he can lay down on the floor and the thing. It doesn't stay in that hard cone position. But it hurt my heart to see him go up to his water. And it's like, okay, here's my water. Mm. And, hey, hold on. Hey, my face doesn't reach the water bowl because of this goddamn cone you've got on my head.
You have to teach him to drink out of a straw.
No, so, right, we're holding up the thing with the water and holding up the thing.
Poor little thing.
And at one point, I left the room, and there was Janet there with the big thing on her neck.
The collar.
And there's Clink with his big, gigantic thing. And, you know, Oscar, the other dog, is going out of his mind.
This is the bulldog.
Yeah. He cannot figure out what this thing that's on Clink. And
now he's actually getting involved with this drama, or is he just sitting there farting?
They're involved. He had last night, the little one.
Yeah.
I know bulldogs have awful farts.
So do pugs. Pugs and bulldogs, terrible farts.
Last night was one of the first times I've ever really heard a dog fart.
That's incredible. When you can hear it, you know it's got to be good. I would think when you can hear it, it's not going to be nearly as bad as when they do the silent thing.
I finally said to her, spray to my side. You know, she's got some little lavender spray on her side. She'll always go like, oh, it's not that bad. You know, meanwhile, it smells like just fresh ass right out of the Play-Doh factory. Oh.
It's the way they're constructed, I think.
But it was just a funny picture of seeing her there with that thing around her neck, and he's got the thing around his neck.
So who will recover? Will Clink's eye clear up first, or will Janet's neck feel better?
It's a race, Mike.
And how is she? Can she lie down comfortably with
the
neck brace?
Drink water, things like that.
I mean, can she drink water? Buzz, I don't think she has to drink water that way.
She's okay getting her. She's a little Frankenstein-y.
Janet's not drinking out of the toilet or anything like that with a neck brace or anything.
No. Only on holidays, Mike.
Only on holidays.
Parties.
So Janet, Colonel Klink, and a Catholic priest walk into a bar.
I can just see that.
And the thing about
I hate the cone. I've always thought the cone is a medieval solution that vets have. I guess they can't think of anything better.
No, there's no other way. I mean,
it certainly works. I know that normally you think of the cone for when they have like abdominal surgery or they wear cones then. But
so they don't look it right. But I listen, after just 3 or 4 hours of having this thing on and having the eye clean, it looked 100% better.
Oh, good. Okay. It's a powerful antibiotic cream probably they have on them.
It's the right thing. And the other thing that I just find it funny, like Animal Planet funny, is the way that the dogs communicate. It's like Clink looks at Oscar, looks at the little bulldog, and the bulldog is, you know, running around Clink and barking. He's not barking in a way that says, hey, I want to fight or I want to play. He's running around like, look at what you're doing to him. What are you doing to him? And then Clink looks at him like, raw, 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 raw. And the little one's going, raw, 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 raw.
Has Clink taken out any lamps or anything like that at home, or so far is it so good?
He did knock over only two things of water, because
he's a gangly shepherd. Yeah, he's not. He's all legs.
He's a big, gigantic. Hey, how are you doing, Daddy? How are you?
Almost a Scooby-Doo like dog.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Up and down.
Row.
Here I am.
Neck cone.
It's gigantic.
But the dog is feeling better. That's the important. The one question I failed to ask you is how did your lady injure her neck? You haven't really been forthcoming about that.
That we do not know, Mike.
You expect me to believe that?
The quality of my lady's pillows.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
It could be.
I don't know. Perhaps she was listening to the show one day and something was so funny.
Jerked her neck back?
She jerked her neck back with righteous laughter.
Did she wake up one day with the neck just like that?
Yeah.
Was there a pee under the mattress?
No, but all over.
Many, many mattresses, and still the bruise. and still the bruise.
Well, you love that story for that reason, don't you, Rob?
Rob's favorite story, The Princess and the Pea.
That's right. They put, well, how many mattresses, Mike? 50?
Like 50 mattresses, quite, and she still has a bruise because she's so very delicate.
What a chump.
And he liked Rapunzel also, because he just likes the pulling hair aspect of it.
So anyway, hi, everybody at home. Hope you're doing okay there. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello. Coneheads. Hello.
Hey.
Hi there. Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I just want to say that my husband, I was very worried when I got home last night from work that he would be on the fetal position, in the fetal position on the couch after your announcement. And the only thing that saved him from that was that the show will continue in some other form. So thank you very much.
Well, he's got to get a life. He's got to get himself a good life. He really does. Honey.
Too much riding.
You know, really, you might want to recommend to him heavy drinking. It's always worked for a generation on generation of Omeras.
Sleep on a pee. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike. How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
How does Chinese farmer call in his calves for lunch?
You know what? You are doing a joke, and you can't do a joke without offering up your phone number first.
That's right.
I shall do that.
All right, now hold on a second. Slow down. Do we have the phone number?
We got it right here. So if we don't laugh at this joke, we give out your phone number.
And now, because you jumped into the joke, and we all know it's got Chinese dialect, some of your mojo has been removed from the joke.
You still want to give it a running shot?
Shot. I gave it a running shot at Great Wolf Lodge.
If you know this Chinese dialect, then I'll try a different one.
All right.
I'll still give out my phone number.
All right. Outstanding. It's up to you. Make us laugh. Go ahead.
How do you get a nun pregnant?
How?
Dress her up as an altar boy.
All right, you want to give out your own number?
It's up to you guys.
We're going to give it out, or you're going to give it out. So if you want to do it, it's usually it's the honorable thing to do, that you give out your own phone number. It's like taking a bullet. You know, like when in those old war movies where they slide the Luger across to the guy and
they say, listen,
you only have one choice.
You know, just do it yourself.
Shut up for just one second, please. The next scene is inevitably when the guy walks outside and you just see the guy react when you hear the gunshot.
And it's a muffled.
Right. And he looks down.
Red Sox Nation, and
thanks so much for that.
All right. Well, this guy, this stain, this tool can be called at area code 207-590-6207. Right, that's it. Call early, call often.
Enjoy your weekend.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So long, funny man.
I wonder what that Chinese joke was.
I love it when you taunt, Buzz. I love it when you taunt.
Thank you. Well, I felt he deserved it.
Bye-bye, funny man.
He deserved a taunting.
Buzz had his taunting stick.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Put himself out there.
Taunting stick.
Taunt stick.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hello.
Good day, gentlemen.
Hi.
You remember about 4 or 5 years ago, you used to call the sex phone call places, and you'd do a little thing called ass play?
You mean, did you say ass play?
Sure, I guess.
Ass play, yes, I guess so.
I guess so. We still do a version of that now.
We still do that.
We call the sex lines all the time.
Well, I wish before you leave, Don, that you could call them, because I was told that you weren't allowed to do that anymore. But if you could do that
Out of curiosity, who told you that?
It was either a friend that listens to the show or a family member. I don't know, but I hadn't heard it in a long time, so obviously I believed him.
Oh, Robin, how long ago did you do that, seriously?
Christmas time.
Christmas time?
It's called Dialing for Transvestites.
Christmas, right?
We've done it this year.
And yesterday, speaking of that particular body part, we played that marvelous old Saturday Night Live sketch for Ass Don't Smell.
Ass Don't Smell. Say your ass don't smell.
And I believe yesterday's show where at one point you mentioned that Arnold's favorite body part is the ass.
Yeah. So there's still talk of that.
Say your ass doesn't smell.
Exactly.
No. None at all. It's roses, though.
Again, all of you people, you're very nice. I'll see you all on the telethon on the 30th.
Okay, I'll
on the Love Network station.
Right. The Love Network.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh.
Hey.
Who's this?
Who's this?
I'll go on guess.
It's the guys you're calling.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, what are you sorry for?
Certainly are.
Oh, I'd like to.
And then the laugh. Yeah, just I mean, really, just little pieces that have nothing to do with anything.
Can I just say something? I won't miss guys like this.
No.
Hey.
Now, you said.
I just wanted to say, Dom, this is Clay.
And oh, shut up. Just go away, dumbass. God.
People.
People. Hello. People. Mortgages.
Just people. Where's that?
Just people.
People.
Don and Mike. Or just hang up. That's okay. You know, we do whatever. Your slings, your bows, your arrows. Throw them at us.
Throw them.
Be like that FTD guy. Be like that queer flash guy. That guy that's all yellow. That's like the pose for the Olympics. The hitting, jogging guy.
Give us your tired, your poor, your community college dropouts.
Hello,
we'll take them all.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Don. Hi, boss.
Hi.
Hi, Rob. Be nice to truck drivers, otherwise we'll run right into you, Mike. Be nice to truck drivers.
Yeah, that's safe. That's safety first, ain't it now? Or we'll run right into you, especially when it's like an ice storm.
You goober.
I'm not a goober. It's those goober. Guys. It's the guys like you. It's the guys like you that drive 95 miles an hour in the ice storm that are goobers.
Mike safe.
And incidentally, Goober Pile and Gomer Pile were both gay.
Places and be on time and
amen, that's why I am starting a campaign starting
amen,
today. The campaign will start for getting all of your goods and services to your shops by tugboat.
If you enjoy
tugboat.
It,
tugboat.
If you enjoy it, if you eat it, if you're wearing it, if you're screwing it, if you're watching it, you got it from a trucker. Remember that, the trucker's friend right here. Me.
And I'm going to modify that because the campaign will be all of your goods and services. They got there. On a tugboat. A tugboat with a barge pulling behind it. You've seen those things on the river.
I have down by the river.
You've seen them on the river. They pull the tugboats.
No, I know we
No,
kid.
The tugboats pull the barge.
Right. We kid about this. I have empathy for truck drivers. I swear
I
to
did.
Christ I do.
I used to.
Hey, listen, I've seen them cut me off before in traffic, too, and it's happened, but I'm sure there's as many cars that have cut them off as well.
Did a truck driver ever throw a pipe at your head?
What did you do to him?
I flipped him off, but I mean...
Well...
But it was only after he cut me off. Woodrow Wilson Bridge. I told you that story.
I know you did.
It's right after, years and years and years and years ago, right after I got my fancy lad convertible.
Still carry the grudge.
You know, the convertible, the pink one, the Mary Kay convertible that I had.
Remember. It's a
the very
car.
First one.
Very
and I had
car.
The top down, and I was having a little go with this guy and pulled up alongside. He pulled up alongside of me. Wait, okay, I pulled up alongside of him. And we went back and forth, and then he got in front of me on the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. And
it's like
I
you're screwed with a trucker. You don't bring
could you possibly hear my side about this? And say, I was not doing anything wrong.
You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You're driving a Mary Kay convertible.
But he didn't try to crush me with his truck.
He's driving an 18-wheeler.
I saw the door open, and all of a sudden I see this, and it went right over the top of the car.
Wow.
Seriously, right over there. Could have gone into the windshield. Could have gone into my head. Could have gone into my head and could have killed me on the spot.
Was it a marijuana pipe?
No, it wasn't. It was metal. It was like lead. It was a piece of metal. And I was scared. I had to pull over.
Was it a crack pipe?
No, it was a real pipe. Lead pipe.
Money metal.
I think it was solid, too.
Like from the movie Clue.
Yeah, like that kind of pipe. It was a metal pipe. And I literally heard thing go.
Was it the kind of pipe like in Pulp Fiction?
Sort of.
Say it.
What pipe?
You know the pipe. Crack somebody's skulls with.
Oh, yeah, you mean a pipe hitting?
Yeah.
Do you mean that Marcellus says?
Yeah, it's a bad word.
We're going to get some pipe hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to let Mr. soon to be living the end of his life in agonizing pain rapist here. We cool?
We cool.
You Bruce- don't have any L.A. There is no you and me. You don't have any L.A. privileges.
But I want my pancakes. I want my blueberry pancakes.
Now listen, honey bunny. Left side of the table on the kangaroo.
I don't know where the watch is.
Just stop brushing your teeth and I'll do you again.
Why are you so mad at me? The watch is...
Do you hate her as much as I do in that movie?
Yes,
worst part, absolute worst part of Pulp Fiction.
However, leads to one of the best parts.
That leads to the best part of the movie.
If she didn't forget the watch, he wouldn't go back and see John Travolta taking a crap, reading the book, and blow his brains out right there in the
house. Do you know, though, seriously, in that particular segment, the only part of Pulp Fiction that I have trouble with the continuity is he makes too much noise going into his apartment. I've always thought, because Vincent is reading. He's not making a sound when he's taking his dump in the bathroom.
Yeah, but you know,
and he's loud going into the door, and then he puts the Pop-Tarts in, and he shuts the cabinet loud. You'd hear that if you were in the bathroom.
I remember that with Pop-Tarts, too. Maybe the door was shut.
The door was shut to the bathroom, but you would hear it. I always have thought, when I'm watching Pulp Fiction, God, he's making a lot of noise in there, and he doesn't really creep in. Like, if he's going to put the key in, so care. Watch Pulp, because, you know, we've all watched it 3,000 times.
Right.
Watch Pulp Fiction when he puts the key in, and then he slowly slides that key in, and then he goes, and he opens up the door really loud.
You take it up with QT, okay?
And he shoots him with a silencer.
You take it up with my man, Quentin Tarantino!
I think that woman's in the movie because Quentin Tarantino was banging her.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm going to get a big stack of blueberry pancakes.
And remember, she doesn't like it when Bruce Willis does the retard voice.
Will you give me pleasure?
Oh, yeah, down there.
Even that's gross. I don't know why. It doesn't turn me on at all. It's really weird.
It is.
And, then she pisses me off because she does forget the watch that's hanging on the kangaroo.
You know what? Bruce Willis should be banging the cab driver.
But again,
absolutely. The cab driver is so much sexier.
Well, she got nice boobs.
What's her name, too?
Pump?
She's got a great name. She's got... The name of the cab driver in Pulp Fiction is a really, really good name.
And if you're going to mention that, this is
Esmeralda, I think.
Yeah. This is my critique with Pulp Fiction.
All right.
Now that you mentioned that scene, when Bruce Willis gets in after he's killed the guy in the boxing ring and he gets into the cab.
Driven by Esmeralda.
It's done like 1940 style.
What, you mean the backdrop?
Yeah, it
is so phony. Maybe, again, it's supposed to be done that way to be artsy, mm-hmm. but it's so phony that that's part of the movie that stands out to me. Like, the other part stands out to you, like, how come we didn't hear him take him a crap? It's like, hold on a second, why is he standing in front of a picture sitting in a fake cab? You know, like they're doing an episode of Taxi or
something. They're the moments like that, you know, punctuated by graphically real moments of violence.
Oh, listen, can you beat cleaning up the brain?
Oh God,
when they go to Quentin Tarantino's house.
I work quick.
I talk
one
fast.
Body, no head.
I think one of the greatest violent scenes is when Marsalis is chasing him in the road and he's walking after he's been shot.
Right.
And there's
right.
passersby and spectators staggering with the gun.
He's like not been shot, but he's been injured.
He's been hit by a car.
He's like
that's
racked
what it
out.
Is.
He's broken his leg and he's chasing him down. And then, of course, Zed. Zed is dead.
Zed is dead, baby. Yes. If I'm not mistaken, the rear projection shot in the cab is black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it is black and white.
And again, maybe done to be artsy fartsy.
Yeah,
but,
I love it.
The thing that makes Pulp Fiction, I think, one of the greatest movies ever made is there's so many moments like that. Like when Zed has the gimp out and he's drumming on his head with his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
That little tiny detail right there. And then the gimp looks at Bruce Willis and does this kind of effeminate. And then
bring out the gimp.
You know, just think of all of that, all the tools he's got to go down and take care of these guys.
Does it make you want to do heroin and roll your own cigarettes and go have a big milkshake? God damn, that movie sells, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right, because the Vincent part of it, you know, the whole heroin.
Slims.
But whatever you do, don't take Vincent's heroin out of his pocket and snort it.
Well, no.
She found that out the hard way.
She thought it was coke. Like, prank call, prank call.
But if you do it, make sure
prank call, prank call. He pulls right in the guy's front driveway.
Oh, God.
If you do it, just put some adrenaline in your sternum.
And what does the other Arquette sister, Rosanna Arquette, what does she say when she's like, does she go bitching? Or trippy?
This is trippy.
This is trippy when they stick the syringe into her heart.
And when she gets up, she's still got it sticking out of her chest.
Fantastic.
What does it say on Sam Jackson's wallet?
MF-er?
Bad MF-er.
Bad MF-er. Right. And what is the song they dance to the very first in Jackrabbit Slims in the dance contest? What is the name of the song they dance to? I know lyrics. I do not know the title of the song.
I think there we have
it. So the old folks, it goes to show you really can't tell.
You never can tell by Chuck Berry.
Okay, you never can tell
Barry.
By Chuck Berry. That is the greatest.
No, don't bother getting
it. Yeah, are you bored?
No, not at all. It just, do you want to play a Chuck Berry record, really?
No, not particularly.
Don't look for it. Right?
I'd rather hear a joke. I'd rather hear another joke.
Don't look for it, please. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don. The reason that John Travolta didn't hear Bruce Willis in the kitchen is because Marcellus Wallace was going out for two coffees, and he was coming home. So John Travolta already thought he was going to hear
some. Oh, my God, that is so right. That is, because that's why he's in the neighborhood to start with.
That should be addressed to Mike, not to me, but yeah, you're right.
Oh, no, but I mean, really, when you think about it, I never processed that until this very moment.
Makes sense.
That makes sense, don't it?
Because Marcellus is just down the street,
right,
and he does have two coffees. He's coming. But I never processed that Marcellus would wait for Bruce Willis.
And you know who's in one of the spectators in that scene is Kathy Griffin.
Oh, that's right. She's on the street after the car accident.
And back when she was hot.
You've always followed her career.
Oh, God.
Mostly.
I like her porno career.
Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin on the C-list.
It was always softcore, though.
Yeah, which was a disappointment to me.
The Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don?
Hello.
Don?
And Mike, we're all here.
Do you guys still have the seal laughing sound effect?
Yeah, sure.
And could you follow it up with house laughing? They're the same thing.
You mean the seal that we played, like, for Oprah?
All right, hold on. That and... Yeah, close, I don't know.
Thank you.
Not really.
Made his day, though.
Greg House.
And you know what?
What?
Rob should have one of those collars, because don't they give those dogs collars after they do that to them?
Oh, you mean after they have the, when they're neutered, dogs get collars like that.
Yeah.
Rob had one so he wouldn't lick himself down there.
Had to wear it for a while.
Rob?
Trust me, if I could lick myself, I wouldn't have gotten the vasectomy.
Now, that was, in its day, seriously, the first time I heard it, the greatest joke I think ever in the world.
Sure,
why do dogs do that? Because they can't.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
How's everybody?
Great.
Fine.
About 2 years ago, I called you guys, and I wanted to recommend a movie. And it was a David Arquette's film called John's, where he plays a male prostitute. And you said you were going to check it out. I don't know if you ever did or not.
Oh, we did. My God, we spent endless hours talking about that film.
Really good movie.
Really.
Really good. Classic film. Great.
But if I can recommend a film that's going to be coming out very soon, I think you really have to get out and see The Hottie and the Naughty.
Yes.
Oh, with Paris Hilton.
That's on my list.
Absolutely.
That's my pick-to-click list. A lot of unknowns in that movie. The Hottie and the Naughty.
Unknown now.
You might not know the plot from hearing the title of it. It's pretty intricate. It's Paris Hilton is the good-looking chick, and she has a best friend who's ugly, and the guy is in love with Paris Hilton, you see, because she's the prettier of the two.
Right.
And then he has to, like, find a date for the ugly girl in order.
Does Paris do any sucking in this movie?
I only saw the trailer, and they didn't show, you know, you didn't see any real upfront nudity in that particular trailer. But she looks just brilliant.
Is it done with home video or actual?
It's actual film.
Yeah, really?
And, yeah, there was a Hollywood premiere movie and everything for it.
Any night vision?
No night vision. Not like the original, but it looks, you know, really, she's gotten a bad rap. I think she is a brilliant actress. Truly, truly brilliant.
Does she play the naughty?
No, she's the hottie, Rob. She is the hottie, and she goes, this one particular scene that I know you'll find amusing, she goes to the gym with this guy that's hot for her, and of course her friend's at the gym, and they're doing their yoga exercises.
Where have you seen the ads for this? I've not seen
I saw the trailer. I saw the trailer.
Why are you holding your arms out like I invented the cure for penicillin, my
Because
good man.
You know how I feel when I've got a real pick to click. And let me, this will really, Don, this will make you laugh. I don't know about anybody else, but they go to the gym.
Yeah.
And the naughty, N-O-T-T-I-E.
See?
Yes.
You see the not, you know, you won't do her.
Not hot.
She puts her foot with her gym sneaker in the guy's face.
I love that, Mike.
And he almost gets sick. It's really, I think it's going to be a great film.
Because her feet stink?
Yeah, that's it. Just incredible.
That's funny.
She has a wart.
Oh, yeah, wow.
That's why she's the naughty. Jesus, you know, Paris Hilton's gotten a bad rap that she doesn't have any talent, but that's going to all change after the hottie and the naughty.
Hey, listen, if you want to, I did see the Diane Ladd movie, Untraceable, Unreachable, Unfindable, whatever the name.
Untraceable.
No, disagreed. First, she's a nice piece of ass. Mm-hmm. She has had no work done to her. And also,
Diane Ladd?
Yes, and also Tom.
Or is it Diane Lane?
Diane Lane. Lane. Who did I say?
Diane Ladd. Ladd. Is it Diane Ladd like this ancient? Oldest.
Siri plays Flo on Alice.
Thank you, Rob Bright.
You said Diane Ladd, and I'm like, who the hell? That's old. That's an old lady.
Well, Diane Ladd. Like, as you know, anytime we mention Alice, we have to immediately go to break.
Diane Ladd.
So let's take this moment to
say
hi to everybody at the diner. Vic and Flo and Alice. And, hey, what was the name of Alice's retarded boy?
That was
Tommy.
Little Tommy. Is Diane Ladd in The Hottie and the Naughty?
I hope so. I think she has the nude scene. Tommy Hyatt is the son, played by Philip McKeon.
Jesus. I like rape.
Wow. It's the only job in America where you'd be able to actually utilize that fact.
Anywho, this movie with Diane Lane.
She still manages to look stunning.
Yeah, she's nice. She's a nice, mature woman. Yes. And Tom Hanks' son is in the movie.
Right.
And
Colin Hanks?
He is a very good, very convincing bad guy.
Oh, really?
Very good, very convincing.
Should give a thumb up to the next generation of Hanks?
No, not really. Here's the problem with this movie. It's like, I don't want to ruin it for you, but we were in Cloverfield, so what the hell? The guy is supposed to be a techno freak, can like send messages to anybody, and has a website. They can't find him.
Right.
Blah blah blah. The last scene of the movie is she's driving a car, and of course, in a blinding rainstorm, mm-hmm. on a bridge where there's nobody but her. Okay, she's the only freaking car.
Is this going to be the end of the movie?
Yeah, and she's just driving along, and all of a sudden, the car goes dead. Right? Uh-huh. And guess what? Hey, it's Tom Hanks' crazy son who's on the loose. He's a madman.
Using
the
GPS system.
Right, and then he says,
hello.
Over the OnStar system, he says,
right.
I'm watching you.
And at that point, she gets out of the car, and she runs to a call box. Mm-hmm. Now, while she goes to the call box, the computer genius turns her car back on. So what does she do? She goes right back to the car and gets him.
Sure.
And, of course, he's in the back seat.
Oh, no.
It's like the movie. It insults your intelligence in a way.
I know.
Where you're not,
I hate movies like that.
You're not suspending disbelief. It's like she's supposed to be an FBI profiler
right.
who works specifically targeting against internet pornography and internet scams. And they're going after people that the whole thing is you kill somebody and you put them on the internet.
Yeah, you see, and they you can't suspend that much disbelief.
But he, okay, let's
not
say,
like The Hottie and the Naughty.
But here's what give me the red ass about this movie. So they got a guy, and he's doing, you know, he's got a guy tied up, and everybody that clicks on this website, there's a better chance he's going to be killed slowly, very slowly. That's the premise of the movie. She works as an FBI profiler in Portland on internet crimes.
Maine or Oregon?
Portland, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it's kind of a giveaway to how stupid the audience is when 15 minutes into the movie, as she's getting ready for work one day to go find this guy who's killing people on the internet,
uh-huh.
she says to her daughter who's at the laptop, what are you doing? And the daughter says, I'm downloading a game that a friend of mine gave me. And she goes, okay, have a nice day. And guess what?
Is the murder game.
Later in the movie, that's how the bad guy got into her software and found out where she lived.
That sucks.
I mean, I'm watching this movie going, this is a movie for an adult, and I realize I have the mind of a child.
But it's also the way the actors sell the lack of reality. I think if Paris Hilton had been in that movie, it might have been a little bit better.
I agree.
I'm just on board with her.
Or Diane Ladd
from Alan.
The Hottie and the Naughty.
Anyway, you're sitting there, and I was one of the people.
So it sucked because of that?
Yes, I was one of the people talking in movies, one of the people that I hate. I turned to Janet, and I said, how are we supposed to believe this? This is this woman's job, uh-huh. and there's a guy, and incidentally, the people he's targeting include FBI agents.
Right, of course.
Okay? And she knows this, yet her kid down, and first, who gets a present from a kid where, hey, Mommy, guess what Bobby gave me for my birthday? It's a game where I download it,
uh-huh.
and the mom says that's fine.
Well, they're trying so hard to be technologically advanced.
And then she gets into the car. Okay, I'll give you this. He's a crazy man who somehow can run her entire car and make her car stop and go backwards and forwards
uh-huh.
and turn the battery off and turn everything off. But it's like the Amityville Horror. You know, they say about, like, you know.
Well, you know, how often, though, seriously, do thrillers of that kind really hit the mark? I mean, you can go back to Silence of the Lambs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can really pick them out. I think they're just like comedies. They're few and far between.
Thank you. I made the mistake of looking at an ad. You know what they said?
What'd they say?
What they said, we'll remind you of Silence of the Lambs.
They always do that.
Which is why I went to see it.
They always do that. And it's just like a comedy. It's like a great comedy. They come along once a decade. Seriously, no more than that. Once a decade, you get a great thriller. And
Seriously, I said to Janet, we left the theater, I said, we should have seen Meet the Spartans.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I would have had a better time and beat the Spartans.
Probably.
THATN is not in theaters probably until, it wasn't there, so you couldn't go see it
the
then.
Too hot.
The hottie and the naughty.
The hottie and the naughty.
Right. You'd like it, though. I'm going to go. You going to see the movie about Margaret Cho?
What's that?
And her heavy period.
The heavy flow movie?
There Will Be Blood. That's another one that's not, like, wide. They're not, you don't get it in every theater.
Margaret Cho is.
She's very wide. That's next on my list, though. I want to go see Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood. That's the one I want to go see.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. I'm trying to think.
But Untraceable, the trailer looked incredible for it. I mean, I would have gotten motivated to go see that, too.
Here's the thing with there Could Be Blood. You know, that's one of those. I actually stood in line and thought, I could see this. Mm-hmm. And I asked the guy, what's the running time? And he said, like, 1 hour and 40 minutes. And I went, give me one for the other movie.
You know, that's not bad, 1 hour and 40 minutes. Is the other one just a little shorter?
The Diane Lane movie? Uh-huh. Comes in like 92 minutes.
That, you know, but really, I agree with you because it's getting to the point where I cannot stand being in a theater over 90 minutes if the movie is just, you know, dragging. They're self-indulgent.
I don't know. Anyway, sorry to go on about that. It's just, she's such a good actress.
Yeah.
And the problem is that you got to be like Catherine Hagel with, you know, 27 hysterectomies to get a goddamn movie now. Because mm-hmm. She's hot and she's a piece of ass. So you got another movie with a very talented actress who happens to be over the age of 40.
Who still looks hot, too.
And everything done to her. Pretty believable in some of the action sequences, but the script is for idiots.
That's too bad.
Well, not everybody is as technologically savvy as you are. So perhaps, you know, if you dumbed yourself down a little bit going in, what did you say to me when we were way back when we talked about Dumb and Dumber? You go in and you just turn the old brain off and you expect to be, stupid.
My brain is on low. I am stupid.
But that's not the kind of movie where you're supposed to turn your brain off.
Right.
That's exactly, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right, Mike.
Come on now.
That's right, yeah. Mike.
I'm not sure whether the movie I was talking about with Paris Hilton is direct to DVD or not. It might be.
I'm wondering if I'm doing a good job of maintaining focus these days. I'm sure I am. Let's break.
Very good.
It'd be a good idea. Good idea.
Very good. You have a
This is the Don and Mike Show.